A big oil company is on trial today. Hi, David Brancaccio in New York. An ExxonMobil trial set to start in New York today has to do with climate change, but perhaps not in the way you might think. The state of New York argues Exxon defrauded its investors, misleading them about the value of its stock by telling them one thing and doing another. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong has a preview.
The accusation is ExxonMobil used two sets of books on climate change and its risk. The plaintiff, the Attorney General of New York, argues that the company told investors that it saw a future with lots of carbon regulations and cost to the company. David Shapiro at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice says that sent a certain message to Exxon stockholders.
And they would say, hey, Exxon is accounting for what we anticipate is going to be a dramatic change in how governments approach climate risk.
In other words, Exxon was clear-eyed about taxes and regulations on fossil fuel use. But in private, the plaintiff says, the company's actions were altogether different.
The internal reports effectively say, well, we don't anticipate much in the way of additional costs based on a climate risk regulation.
The problem with that, as the argument goes, is ExxonMobil made oil and gas decisions that were too risky and hid it from investors. But ExxonMobil calls that a baseless theory and that it used two different cost assumptions because they're apples and oranges. It makes sense to Mark Stokel, CEO of Adams Funds, which holds Exxon stock.
One, you've got actual hard costs that you can actually consider. The second is a bunch of assumptions you have to make on demand many years down the road. I'm not sure that's fraud.
He says analysts who follow Exxon aren't even talking about this case. And if the company were to lose, the amount would be negligible. But litigation analyst Brandon Barnes at Bloomberg Intelligence says state attorneys general and others bringing energy and climate lawsuits see today's case much differently.
I think it's part of a much broader effort to figure out a way to address climate change when there's a perception that the federal government isn't moving fast enough.
The ExxonMobil trial could provide drama in the form of emails. A pretrial investigation found that Rex Tillerson, who was CEO for the period in this case, used two email addresses at work, one under his name, one under an alias. The company says the second email was created for, quote, secure communications. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
All right, the department store Macy's has just announced it will stop selling products made with fur. The change will take place in 2021 in all of Macy's locations. Macy's also owns Bloomingdale's, which will also stop selling fur. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more on this business and cultural shift story. Justin, why now?
Well, the way Macy's tells it, there's a changing tide away from fur and fur products. Macy's says it looked at consumer tastes and fur alternatives and found that fur sales just aren't a material part of its business. And a lot of the brands it sells don't make any fur products anyway. Plus, a lot of cities are banning fur sales. San Francisco and L.A. did, and New York City's thinking about doing the same.
Sounds like the time had come.
Yeah, but it's not as clear-cut as one might think. It's worth noting that fur is just such a huge part of American history and colonial expansion. You know, it's a commodity. The first millionaire in the U.S., John Jacob Astor, made a lot of his fortune in the fur trade. Plus, fur is a symbol of luxury and achievement. For instance, the New York Times published a piece earlier this year highlighting fur's significance with black women, and it pointed out that people have started to disavow the use of fur just as more black women have started being able to afford it.
Is fur selling these days?
Well, the research outfit Euromonitor found that people still want it. It found that last year the use of fur in clothing and accessories reached its highest level in 17 years. And we're talking here about items like Ugg boots and Canada Goose parkas with fur lining. Macy says parts of what's weaning its customers off of fur are the fur alternatives out there, like faux fur. But on the other hand, fur industry groups will point out that those alternatives often get stuck in landfills and aren't biodegradable like real fur is.
Marketplace's Justin Ho, thank you for this. Let us do the numbers. The FTSE index in London is up 0.4%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are a little changed. With Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau staying in office, but with his power curbed after the election, the Canadian dollar is down slightly this morning at 130.9 to the U.S. dollar.
Hey, Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The corporate Mexican food place Chipotle has been on the comeback after the food safety problems of 2015. Its stock has more than doubled this year, and its summer to fall profit report is due today. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more on the turnaround.
The recipe for Chipotle's recent success is kind of like that famous line from the movie The Graduate, but instead of plastics,
it's three words: avocados, millennials, and digitizing.
That's PR specialist Gene Grabowski. With digitizing, he says, the chain has been pretty successful. Thanks to a well-designed app with delivery options and a loyalty program, online orders now account for almost 20% of sales at the famously long-lined restaurant. And that has endeared Chipotle to millennials, says Alex Suskind at Cornell University.
Figuring out how to reach them through their phones made a really big difference for them.
They've also stepped up social media efforts to get even younger customers, including on the new TikTok app all the kids are using. There's something called the Guac Dance Challenge, which brings us to record per capita consumption of avocados last year. And when you're a restaurant selling guacamole, that can add up to a lot of green. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Oh, and half the world's banks could go out of business during the next global downturn. What did I just say? Yes, that is the claim in a new report from the consultancy McKinsey. This is half the banks around the world are too weak to survive the stress of a global recession. McKinsey argues banks aren't making enough money, given costs at a time when financial technology startups are on the rise and companies like Apple, Amazon, and Google could jump further into financial services. Banks spend just over a third of their information tech budgets on innovation compared to 70% for the so-called fintechs. And McKinsey says to avoid becoming a, quote, footnote to history, traditional banks need to innovate themselves, maybe buy innovation, or simply to merge together. Our producers are Rose Conlin, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. I am David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.